631 we'll commence with this evening, please. The hymn 631, the page is 430. A prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. 631, we'll stand as we sing this evening, please. Let's stand. Still ourselves in God's presence, seek his blessing upon our coming together this evening. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we bow afresh before thee. Lord, we confess that the Lord Jesus is our Saviour. He's the one, O God, who paid that debt in full for our sin. He's the one who has made that new and living way for us to approach thee. We thank thee, O God, this night that the veil has been rent in twain. We're thankful, O God, that we do not need to come carrying any bulls or any goats and shedding their blood even before thee. But we thank thee for the one who's entered into the Holy of Holies for us. He's presented his body and blood as that one sacrifice for sin. Seated now at thy right hand, making intercession for us. We thank thee for our advocate there in heaven. We thank thee, O God, this night that he is the one who pleads for us, the one who prays with us and indeed prays for us. We thank thee, O God, this night that even as we gather to this house, that we have one in heaven who remembers us. one whose eye is upon us, one whose ear is open unto our cry. And Father, we commit ourselves into thy hands for the time that lies before. We pray that as we come around thy word afresh, that thou wilt speak to our hearts. We pray, O God, that there will be that encouragement even this evening. And Lord, those lessons, that teaching, O God, even in prayer. And Lord, even gleaning from thy word what the Lord does teach from it. And Father, we pray then as we come to the throne of grace, in but a little while, O God, that thou wilt draw near and give help to each one. Oh, that we will hear voices this night that have never prayed before. Voices that have not prayed in a very long time. And oh God, that there will be that desire, one after another, to come and to boldly lay our petitions at thy feet. Lord, remember us for good. We thank thee for thy hand upon us another week thus far. We're so thankful, O God, that thou hast watched over our going outs and our coming ins. Thou hast been near to us. Thou hast helped us. Thou hast met our every need afresh. And we praise thee and thank thee for all of thy many blessings to us. We pray that thou will continue to be near. Well, Lord, thou knowest those in the congregation who need thee especially. And Father, we just pray that thy hand will be even there upon them, and thy presence will be a very real a reality to them at this time. And Lord, that thou, O God, wilt rule and overrule and intervene, O God, and help them and encourage them and strengthen them at this time. Lord, bless this work as a whole. Bless, O God, this land as a whole. We think of this denomination, and we think of the many faithful preachers there are, both in this denomination and even in others as well. We think of places tonight where brethren and sisters are meeting together to pray and to study thy word. Oh, that they will know the help of the Lord just as we need it. Oh God, they need it too. Lord, bless in the coming together of thy people. May each place, each band of believers that gather together, may they experience the realization of that promise, that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou art there in the midst. Lord, come down amongst us, I pray thee, and breathe upon us. Oh, for the Holy Spirit to be brooding over our gathering this evening. Father, come and glorify thy Son in everything that is done and said. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're turning this evening to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke and the chapter 18. We welcome each one in the Saviour's name this evening. I want to thank you for coming. And we do pray that the Lord will be near to us as we're found in his house and in his presence this evening. May the Lord be pleased to bless us and to help us in our time together. Whenever you come to the end of a series, I like to be in a series because I know where I'm going. When you come to the end of a series, it's always nice, as it were, to come up for a bit of air before you go down into the next series or into the next book. And it's one of my struggles in life is knowing what just one-off sermons and where to go to. And it was Sunday evening after the meeting when I went home. I was reading a book on being in the school of prayer with the Lord. And this particular passage, which I never considered of before for a prayer meeting, this particular passage was being spoken of in the book. And it is the verses at the end of chapter 18 and dealing with Bartimaeus. The last line of the hymn that we sang this evening said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And that's really what we want to consider this evening, is Christ teaching us how to pray, even through this short section and this short account of the Lord meeting with Bartimaeus outside of Jericho. So Luke 18, verse 35, we'll commence at, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. "It came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much, "The more, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Amen. May the Lord bless the public reading once again of his precious word to our hearts. Just simply entitled, "Christ Teaching Us How to Pray." Christ teaching us how to pray. Let's just still ourselves afresh and even ask the Lord, each one of us, to speak to our hearts this evening. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, O God, that even passages that we could look at and we could think, oh, these are gospel preaching passages, and yet there can be application, there can be instruction even in them for the believer and for even the setting of a prayer time. And Father, we ask thee that as we come around thy word now and as we spend these moments together in it, that thou wilt teach us, that thou wilt speak to us. And O God, that by thy Spirit, that thou wilt lead us and guide us and even direct us, that when we come to the place of prayer this evening, O God, that thou wilt give us a greater burden and a greater help even in what to pray and how to pray. Lord, empty us now of self and of sin. Fill us with thy Spirit. Give us those words from thee, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we've already mentioned, even in our prayer there, this particular passage, this particular event in the life and ministry of Christ is not normally a place that we would come to be taught about how to pray, and indeed about the specifics of prayer itself. This primarily is a section which is used for gospel ministry. I've preached from it myself, dealing as we began that series in the last days of Christ in January of 2019. This was the first message that we began that series with, looking at Bartimaeus and that beginning of the final journey of our Lord and Savior into Jerusalem. And how now his face was set as that flint towards Jerusalem. He was going there with that understanding, with that appreciation and acceptance that he would be betrayed, that he would be arrested, that he would be tried, and then he would be crucified. And as he comes to Jericho and passes through it, Christ meets with and will heal Bartimaeus. And then as he continues on that journey into Jericho and through it, he will meet with Zacchaeus and he will have that time of fellowship and dining with him. And salvation will come to the house of Zacchaeus, even through the visitation of the Lord. But it is these words and the interaction between Bartimaeus and Christ that stands out even to us and has stood out to me as I considered it both on Sunday evening and in the days following, of how the Lord has instruction here. There are lessons for us in how to pray and why to pray. The avenue of prayer is extremely special, and it ought to be special to each one of us. It ought to be something that we cherish. It ought to be something that we love. It ought to be something, yea, that we even take that time to utilize and to have each and every day. And yet all of us, myself included, at times we get the avenue of prayer and the practice of prayer, we get it wrong. As Romans 8:26 says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And that's a realization for all of us at times. There are times whenever we will seek to pray and it just becomes a chore. It becomes hard. It becomes a struggle. It becomes, yea, even something that instead of encouraging us and lifting us, it depresses us. Because we do our best to pray. We do our best to say something. And yet we come away from it just having maybe just said words or sentences. Or phrases, popular phrases, well-known, well-rehearsed phrases. And we come away from those times of prayer and we feel as if we're getting nowhere. We actually feel worse than before we started. As I said, this is primarily a gospel preaching passage. But if you look at it and if you keep your mind upon the fact that this can be used as a vein of lesson and as a vein of instruction to teach us in the avenue of prayer, I believe there are some interesting, important points to note from it. Firstly, I want you to see the verse 38, the starting point or the starting place for Bartimaeus' prayer. The verse 38, it tells us, or sorry, the verse 37, whenever he asked them, he says, you know, what is it? What does it mean? And then they told him, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And Bartimaeus, he heard the news, he realized who it was that was coming to Jericho that day. It stirred with him, in him, a reaction that he had never experienced before. This was a man who had spent many days, and indeed quite possibly many years, lying there at the entrance of Jericho. Every single day in that same spot, just begging for scraps. Begging maybe for a coin, begging for something that would encourage him, that would make his life that little bit easier even throughout the day and into the evening. He was blind. He was helpless. There was no hope. There was nothing that anyone could give him that could improve his situation permanently or could give him a long-term fix. Many individuals had passed by him. Each and every person that had business to do in Jericho made that journey past Bartimaeus, and many individuals passed by. But never before had he been motivated or moved to cry out like he did that day. Never before had he taken to crying, mercy, mercy, mercy. Never before, whenever he heard of an individual, whether it be a governor or whether it be a Roman primate or whoever it was coming past, never before had he been moved in such a way to cry. Regardless of who it was. But now he hears that word, he hears that news, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And now it all changes. His need didn't change. His need had been the same the day before. He had been blind the day before, he was blind that day. And yet that particular day, the need didn't change, but the individual who passed by did. Christ came. Christ was passing by. And his understanding of why to pray was based on who was passing. And that ought to be the starting point for all of our prayers. Yes, the understanding we need help, but also the understanding of him with whom we have to do. The psalmist, he says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. The word there in the Hebrew for the word Lord is Adonai. It's speaking of the power of God. And so the psalmist, he understands his need. He has that appreciation. I am poor and needy. I am weak. I am helpless. But the Lord, Adonai, the powerful God. In the midst of my weakness, he has the strength to work and to change. In the midst of my disability, he has the ability to help and to deliver me from all of my troubles. You see, when we come to pray, we need to understand the greatness of the one with whom we are coming. We're not simply coming to another individual. We're coming to Almighty God. We're coming before the one with whom all things are possible. We're coming before the one that can give us greater things than we can ask or even think. We're coming before the one with whom there is nothing too hard or too difficult for God to overcome. We're coming before one who has all power and all knowledge and all ability to change all things. Bartimaeus understood that. That's why he cried. Bartimaeus knew something of the power and the capabilities of Christ. He had never saw it with his own eyes, no, but he had heard it. He had heard of how Christ had raised individuals from the dead. He had heard of how Christ had healed lepers. He had heard how Christ had been able to do all of these wonderful miracles. And he never did them all the same way. The three individuals that were brought back to life, one was a boy lying in a coffin being carried out. Another was a girl lying in a bed. The other was Lazarus. He was dead 4 days. Three individuals raised back to life. Not the same time, not the same treatment, not the same way, but all the same result. And he could heal lepers whether they were still before him or even those 10 who obediently left him to go and appear before the priest. He could heal the blind, whether it be by the spittle in the ground to make clay for their eyes, or simply commanding them to see. The Lord had the ability to change them all. And that's why Bartimaeus had the desire and the confidence to cry on to the Lord. Because he knew Jesus of Nazareth could change. He knew that Jesus of Nazareth could change his circumstances. Could change exactly what was happening in his life. Brethren and sisters, as we come to prayer, may we come with that fresh reminder and that fresh confidence in whom we are praying to. When you pray for souls to be saved, remember you are praying to one who can save, one who has saved, and one who continues to save. Even today, right across this world, souls have been saved. And so when you pray for individuals, whether they be loved ones or whether they be neighbours, and you're praying, Lord, save them, remember, you're praying to one who can save and does save. When you're praying for particular health needs and for restoration of health, remember, you're praying to one who has before raised individuals from all different diseases back to full health. Those that have endured leprosy, we can see it in Scripture, blindness, palsy. Those even with cancer, those with all different treatments and all different needs, the Lord has raised them back to full health. And he continues to heal people even to this very day. Have confidence in the Lord. Proverbs 14, to verse 26. It says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So whenever you understand who God is, you understand who you are before God, and you're coming to that God understanding, I am poor and needy, but the Lord thinketh upon me, the Lord is able, then you can have confidence. And his children, even as it says there in Proverbs, his children shall have a place of refuge. Bartimaeus' starting point for prayer was knowing who God is, knowing who passed by. And so, brethren and sisters, tonight remember who we are in the midst of. We're before the Lord. We're before Adonai himself. We're before the one who has all power and all capability. The starting point for his prayer. But then secondly, I want you to see the verse 41, the specifics in prayer. The specifics in prayer. The verse 41, whenever the Lord brings Bartimaeus before him, he says to him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? You see, whenever Bartimaeus was at the side of the road and Jesus was passing by, whenever the Lord came into hearing distance, as it were, whenever Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was close, he began to cry out, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And even though he was rebuked, even though there were those that tried to stop him, yet we see in the verses that are before us that he continued, he cried so much the more, thy son of David, have mercy on me. He keeps praying the same words. He keeps praying the same prayer. But within his prayer, there's nothing specific. He just keeps saying the same words, have mercy on me. Never once does he cry, "Lord, I want to see." Never once does he cry, "Lord, I am blind, I need my eyesight." All he ever cries out is, "Thou Son of David, have mercy." And so Christ stops him. He stops him praying. He calls him to him. And he says to him, "What do you actually want? What will thou have me to do? What is it that you actually are praying for? What do you actually want? What do you actually need, Bartimaeus? All you're saying is, have mercy." Specifically, Bartimaeus, let's get to the crux of it. Let's really get into the depth of your prayer, the depth of your desire. What do you need? See, in truth, there are two issues with Bartimaeus' prayer. There's the issue of repetition. There's the issue of generalization. First of all, repetition. He just keeps saying the same words. He just keeps saying the same phrase. The same line over and over again. He even puts more emphasis into it. And he just keeps saying, "Now, Son of David, have mercy on me." It's just repetition. Something, of course, that Christ spoke against in Matthew 6 and verse 7. Whenever he's there in the Sermon on the Mount, he said to the people, "When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen." In other words, don't just say the same lines over and over again. Repetition in prayer is something we all struggle with. I confess it. It's something we all need to contend against. It's no different for a preacher. I was thinking about this, and there are times even that for the individuals in the pew, it's a struggle to pray out loud. You're conscious of what you're saying. You're conscious that you're praying in front of others. You do your best not to repeat the same lines and the same phrases. Well, I was thinking for the preacher, he'll pray twice in the upper room, leading the prayer time on a Sunday morning, closing it, opening prayer before the sermon, and then at the end of the meeting. Repeats it all over again at night time and then the Wednesday night as well. Everyone has that problem whenever it comes to, and you're praying out loud, and there's that desire, we want to hear as many people praying out loud as possible. But we don't want to be sitting, the Lord doesn't want you just to be coming out with the exact same lines, exact same words the entire time. I remember one particular student in homiletics class, of course, was whenever you were supposed to be critiqued about your preaching. You get up, you preached, you sat down, and then everyone else just informed you of how much you still needed to improve. There's one individual, and had to be highlighted to him, that his entire prayer, as all he had to do was say two words. We knew exactly what he was going to say the rest of the sentence. This went on every single sentence of his prayer. You knew exactly. It was just, he had his lines, as it were, and he prayed the same thing. Mr. Elliot, he highlighted to us, he says, this is something we all must work with. We must have that effort to be putting in, that we're not just simply being repetitive. Repetition, as I said, it affects us all. And you know, it's so easy, we can point at other denominations, we can point at other individuals, and we can say, oh, look at them, they've a book of prayer. They're just reading their prayers, and it's just the same lines they're reading every single time they pray. And yet, did you realize Free Presbyterians have a book of prayer, but it's all up there? There are certain cliches, certain little phrases that you hear from Free Presbyterians down through the years, and it's just the same phrases year after year. Over and over again, and individuals think, if I get all of the cliches in, if I get all all the words, the phrases that have been used for years and years, if I put them all into my prayer, well, that's going to be a good prayer. But all it is repetition. It's not actually saying anything. It's not actually praying. And the Lord stops this, and the Lord simply, even as he did with Bartimaeus, he just gets us down, as it were, one-on-one with him. What is it you're actually praying for? Because there's so much repetition. What is it you actually want? What is it you actually need? Then the other issue, generalization. Bartimaeus, he wasn't really getting to the core of his need, was he? He was just saying, Lord, have mercy on me. He was just leaving it so vague. He was just saying, mercy? Well, what mercy? The Lord could have given me, the Lord could have said, right, I have provided for you a nurse. And this nurse is going to take you home, and this nurse is going to provide you with lodging and a warm meal every single night. That would be a mercy. That'd be something Bartimaeus never had. Or the Lord could say, I've provided you monetary gifts that you, for the rest of your life, you will have money every day, that you can meet every need, you can even go to the doctors. That would be a mercy. Be a mercy never to have to beg again outside of Jericho. But yet Christ stops him, brings him before him, and he says, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? What is it you actually need, Bartimaeus? It causes Bartimaeus to say, Lord, I need to see. That's my need. I need my eyes to be opened. That's the mercy I need from the Lord. I need my eyes to be opened, and I need to be able to see. C.H. Spurgeon, he said, prayer should be definite. What a lot of praying there is that prays for everything in general and nothing in particular. You know, we can often pray, Lord, have mercy. The Lord can send a question back, well, have mercy on who? We can pray, Lord, save souls, and the question comes back, well, what souls? Name them. What individuals are upon your mind or upon your heart? Pray, Lord, bring in strangers. Well, what strangers? Do you mean the individuals you've been speaking to, witnessing to? Do you mean the individuals that are beside you and you've been praying for constantly? Those neighbors, those friends of yours, those work colleagues, and you've been witnessing to them, you've been praying to them, and that's who you actually mean when you're talking about the stranger? Now, I grant you, this goes against many individuals and their way of participating in public prayer meetings. Don't want to name names publicly. Just want to leave it vague that they know the Lord knows who they're talking about. I can see issue with that on both sides. I can understand it from both sides of the argument. There is that concern quite often upon individuals' hearts. Well, they'll think, if I name this person in the prayer meeting that I'm burdened for, that I'm longing that the Lord would save, if I name them, then others around me are immediately going to be thinking, well, who is that person? Or if I name my loved one, if I name my son, if I name my daughter in the prayer meeting, if I name that grandchild or whatever the case may be, or the brother, the sister, if I name that person, then they'll be thinking, oh, they still haven't. Their loved one's still outside of Christ. It's as if it almost brings a shame or a negative light. Not thoughts in the mind of other people are going to be judging me because my family, some of them aren't where they should be. Some of them are in the world. So the fear of man stops us from being specific in prayer. Proverbs 29:25 reminds us the fear of man bringeth a snare. That snare can be hindering you in the place of prayer. Then on the other side of the point is the fact of why do believers feel that they will be judged or talked about if they name names, if they pray specifically? Is there a just cause for those individuals having such concerns. You see, public prayer times, this time, whenever we come around the throne of grace together, we're brethren and sisters in Christ. It ought to be the one family coming together, united in prayer, that we can feel comfortable enough, we can feel safe enough to pray unto the Lord, to cry unto the Lord, to mention those loved ones by their name to the Lord in prayer without thinking, well, so-and-so is going to be questioning me, so-and-so is going to be thinking this or that. As opposed to, if I name my son, if I name my daughter, I know everyone around me is going to be saying amen and praying along with me, saying, Lord, save them. The Lord longs for us to cry unto him. Yea, even encourages it to name our loved ones, to name our neighbors, to pour out our hearts, to actually pray without judgment one another, without fear of one another. Bartimaeus had to pray, and the Lord brought him right in front of everyone. Bartimaeus, publicly in front of these around you, you tell me exactly what it is you need. He didn't go to Bartimaeus as Bartimaeus lay at the side of the road. He didn't go over and lean down and whisper in Bartimaeus's ear, Bartimaeus, just you tell me quietly. He brought Bartimaeus to him in the public place in that road with all of the crowd. Bartimaeus, what is it you need? And Bartimaeus publicly had to say, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I think as well of the dying thief upon the cross. There he hung, the crowd round about, casting all of the dirt in the teeth of the Lord. Whenever he turned to the Lord, there had to be a very specific prayer publicly. Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. He didn't just say, Lord, mercy, because a mercy could have been, well, get him down off the cross, spare him. No, the specific nature of his prayer was, Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you, in the place of prayer, be specific. Get past the go-to phrases. Get past the Free Presbyterian cliches. Enter into prayer. That doesn't mean, of course, that you use a public place to specifically highlight a problem you're having with a brother or sister, and you start and pray, Lord, deal with that person, that they come around to my way of thinking. That's not specific praying that the Lord's looking for, because you've a bigger problem you need dealt with in your heart. But whenever you can come before the Lord and you're pouring out your heart onto the Lord, Lord, save my son. Lord, save my daughter. Lord, save my grandchildren. Lord, save my neighbor. Lord, break into this area. Lord, there's an individual and I'm bringing them before you in prayer. They need that touch spiritually. They need that touch physically. One final thing I want to leave with you just as we come to the place of prayer. Verse 41 again, there is searching in prayer. There's searching. Because the Lord says to him, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Christ asked the question to Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? He didn't ask that question out of ignorance. Christ knew exactly what Bartimaeus needed. Christ knew exactly the state, physical state of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was blind. Christ knew it. Christ knew even before he ever came near Jericho that Bartimaeus would be at the side of the road waiting for him. And Bartimaeus would be that day, would come before him, and Bartimaeus that day would receive his sight. The Lord already knew him, was prepared and planned to give him that sight. But he still asked the question. So why ask the question? If the Lord already knew exactly what Bartimaeus needed, then why ask the question? Because I believe Bartimaeus had to search himself. Bartimaeus is brought before Jesus of Nazareth. He's brought before the Lord himself, the one who's done amazing miracles, the one who's performed great feats over creation, over individuals' bodies. He's asked that question by the Lord. What do you want? What do you need? So Bartimaeus has to search himself. What do I need? What is it that I need to ask the Lord for? He has to search within himself. What is it? The answer comes back. I need to see. You know, for you and me, there must also be that searching within ourselves as we come to the place of prayer. The petitions that we bring to the Lord, there has to be that searching even within ourselves, that we think to ourselves and we meditate even upon those prayer requests. Is this exactly what I need to bring to the Lord? What is it that I'm asking the Lord for? Is it what I need? Is what I'm praying for right? Do I believe that God can do it? Am I going to pray for something and am I going to have the faith that the Lord can do it? Am I going to have the faith that the Lord will do it? How strong is your faith? That searching has to go on within you. Are you just praying for the sake of praying to say, oh, I ask the Lord? Are you praying and praying, believing and saying to the Lord, Lord, as I come to you, I believe with all of my heart that this prayer request that I'm bringing to you for that individual or for that need, Lord, I believe that you are the only one that can change it. I believe you can, and that, Lord, I believe you will if it's in accordance with your will. How strong is your faith when you come to pray? You know, some people pray general prayers and stay away from the specifics out of a lack of faith. They don't want to get into the specifics. They don't want to get down into the detail, as it were, with the Lord. Has to be that searching. Do I believe that the Lord can do it? Do I believe that the Lord answers prayer? Do I believe that the Lord answers the desires of my heart in spite of the complexity of the desires? In spite of the time that's passed, you're maybe praying for a loved one and that individual has went for many years kicking the gospel down the road from them, hardening their heart year after year, and you're thinking to yourself, it's now X amount of years, maybe even decades have passed, and it's just so hard, they're so hard, it's such a difficult situation. Do you believe the Lord can answer it in spite of the complexities? Do you believe that the Lord can answer it in spite of the time? Whether it be the time that's passed, or whether it be how tight the time schedule is and the time scale is that prayer needs to be answered in. Remember when Peter started to sink in the water, he cried, Lord, save me, a specific prayer. And he only had seconds before he went below the waves. But he believed in his heart, the Lord can save me. And he fixed his eyes upon the Lord. Lord, save me. And the Lord in that moment reached down, lifted him up. Bartimaeus had that faith as he stood before the Lord. He searched himself. The Lord had asked him the question and the answer came back from the bottom of his heart. Lord, that I might receive my sight. God heard the prayer. God answered the prayer. And God then said to him, look at the verse 42, receive thy sight. Why? Thy faith hath saved thee. You see, the Lord didn't just hear his words. The Lord saw his heart. And he knew he's not just saying it for the sake of saying it. He's saying it because he believes. He believes I can change. Remember the words of Ezekiel 36. The chapter full of promises, of blessings for the children of Israel. And the Lord had them all ready, as it were, just all lined up, ready to distribute. Ezekiel 36 and verse 37. He's promised them in that passage. He's promised them a new heart. He's promised them blessings, showers of blessings. He's promised them revival. He's promised them all of these things. But Ezekiel 36, 37, it says, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. In other words, it's all lined up, ready to hand out. But first of all, they have to ask me for it. They have to ask me for the new heart. They have to ask me for the revival. They have to ask me for the blessings. Then I hand them to them. Before the Lord will bless us, it must first of all be that searching of ourselves, realizing the need, realizing alone who can supply the need, and then coming and asking specifically for it. You know, if you came to me at the door, and you simply said, can you help me? I wouldn't know what help you needed. Did you mean you needed help to the car? Did you mean you needed help around the house? You have to be that bit more specific. And the Lord, yes, he's all-knowing, but he longs and he loves to hear us pray specifically. Oh, for such prayer meetings. Oh, for such prayer times. Where we gather together and we search our hearts. And then we pray specifically. We get away from those little phrases. And we get guided by the Spirit of God. Led as to what to pray, exactly what to pray. So that we pray in accordance with his will. Remember the words of 1 John 5 and the verses 14 and 15. It says, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Bartimaeus simply had have just kept crying, Lord, mercy, mercy. He wouldn't have had his eyesight. But the Lord in his mercy stopped him and said to him, what do you need? Lord, I need to see. And I believe you can make me see. Go your way. Thy faith hath saved thee. Oh, that we would pray, even as Bartimaeus, specifically, trusting the Lord completely, that the Lord can and will answer prayer. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening.